You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Carmelo Anthony is calling for more top prospects to attend historically black universities when selecting schools to play at. Melo said, quote, "All it takes is one person to change history. It changes college sports because you have a young black kid who is at the top of his game who decided to go to a black university." Shannon, do you agree with Melo here?
I mean, it definitely would help, Skip. If you get somebody, can you imagine if guys like, say, Anthony Davis or LeBron James coming out or Carmelo when they came out had gone to historically black institutions? It would definitely change. Because, Skip, before they integrated, that's where, if you look at the first group of Hall of Famers in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, that's where they went. Mm. They went to the Maryland Eastern Shores and the Gramblins and the Southern, Texas A&Ms, Alabama A&M and Florida A&M and all those Texas Southern.
Well, that's obviously what Jerry Rice, Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah, right? Alcorn State.
Walter Payton, Jackson State.
Yeah.
Right? Steve McNair, Alcorn State.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. So that, a lot of these guys went there. Skip, I remember after my sophomore season, I was an All-American. I was player of the conference, player of the year. I was offensive player of the year. I was going to transfer to the University of Miami. Mm. And I was like, Coach Davis sat me down and said, "Son, why you want to transfer?" I'm like, "Coach, I want to
Coach
play
Davis Coach Miami, Butch Davis.
No.
Oh,
Bill Davis was my coach.
Oh, you're coach. Yeah. Okay, I got it.
If I'm not mistaken, what you call him was still there? Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy was still there.
Jimmy was still there. Yeah.
Were they recruiting you?
Yeah. Okay. I was going to transfer to the University of Miami. Talk to the recruit and everything. And he sat me down. He said, "Well," I said, "Coach, I want to play in front of 75,000 coaching plus. I want to go to the NFL. Ain't nobody going to see me here at Savannah State." He looked me dead in my eye. He said, "Son, you good enough, they'll find you." Mm. I walked out of his office and never looked back.
Really?
Yep.
No regrets.
No regrets. One of the greatest decisions I ever made, because I got with people that taught me my history and helped me have a better understanding of what my history and what blacks had done in America. Skip,
but is it possible you might have been a second-round pick out of the U?
Oh, there's no question.
Maybe?
No question. No,
first-round pick? I don't know.
I'd have been a first-round pick. Okay. No question
about
it.
And you win the seventh round out of Savannah State.
Out of Savannah State. Because the talent was still the talent.
Yep.
Skip, it would definitely help. Now, this is 2023. He's the number three prospect. That's a long ways away. He's feeling that way right now because of the climate that's going on.
Yep.
It would be interesting to see how he feels.
This is the kid, Carmelo.
Yes,
hoping,
Mikey Williams.
Yes, we'll choose a historical black college.
Right.
Okay.
Especially after hearing what's been going on with some of these institutions, Skip, and how they've treated some of their... Because what happens, Skip, is that a lot of these guys that's coming out, they're speaking about these colleges and how their preferential treatment and some racist things will say it. It gets shot down because they're not superstars. Oh, he didn't pan out. Oh, he was a bench warmer. Mm-hmm. So they discredit him.
Yep.
All it's going to take is one of these superstars to say, "Yeah, I heard that also. Yeah, they treated them differently. Obviously, I'm a superstar. Mm-hmm. I didn't get treated like that." But I've heard a lot of guys in the past couple of days reach out and say, "Well, Shannon, what you don't understand, if I were to come out and say something, that fan base is going to come. And, you know, I won't be able to go back there. I was like, "Hey, bro, you got to do, what's in your heart, what's in your conscience." Mm-hmm. So if that's what you feel, that's what you feel. But for me, Skip, I do believe it would definitely help. It would change how these big institutions, because Skip, they've had a monopoly on these guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think that if they were to do that, and Melo is absolutely right, it just takes one. Mm-hmm. It's just like when the SEC opened up, when USC came down there and they beat the brakes off Alabama, Skip, yep. Bear Bryant said, hey, go get me some of them.
He did.
And he went and got them, and everybody started having them. So, kudos, but I hope it happens. Get like the top 10 go to historically black institutions. Okay.
So, a little more context, wider into entertainment, Oprah, Tennessee State, Samuel L. and Spike Lee, Morehouse, right?
Yep.
2 Chainz, Alabama State.
Yep.
I could go on and on, just for more context.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, the first concern I had when I first saw this headline was, I experienced in high school integration.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Right.
It was so needed at that point in the 60s in this country. Let's integrate so that we can communicate a little bit better.
Right.
Has it changed life? No, it has not changed life. But it was a positive step, I still believe. So now you're talking about segregating again, right? Like you're saying, no.
Just a few. Just a handful of them. So they would get an understanding of how to treat. Because, Skip, I think when you just have a free run on players, you're like, oh, well, they're going to come here regardless. If they don't go to me, they're going to go to Duke. If they don't go to Duke, they're going to go to Kansas, Kentucky. So
I got it.
You're in that cycle.
Okay. So back to my background. 1976, I was out here in L.A. working at the L.A. Times, and I asked if I could go to a little school called Grambling, in Grambling, Louisiana, and do a story on a quarterback by the name of Doug Williams, because I was getting the vibrations that he just might go first in that draft that year. And they said, okay, and that was back in the days when newspapers operated more like magazines, and so they could give me a week to go to Grambling.
Right.
Because they knew I would come back with something, because I sold them. I said, this is a very special story that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, I met the great Coach Rob, as they called him, Eddie Robinson.
Yep.
And again, for those who don't know, he's one of the greatest coaches ever, if not at the top of the list.
Yeah, he put a lot of guys in the NFL, a lot of guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
One of the most decent humans I've ever run across was Coach Rob.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a whole week on that campus with Doug, hanging out in his dormitory. And I got to experience a very different school spirit, because the pride I felt on that little campus was extraordinary, because it was underdog pride.
Mm-hmm.
It was us against the world pride.
Right.
I had recently graduated from Vanderbilt. And there is, I'll be the first to admit, a little bit of an elitist pride, more of a we are the world kind of pride, right, at Vanderbilt.
Right.
And it's hard to get into, so you get it.
Yeah.
But it's just such a different campus vibe. There's an arrogance at Vanderbilt that I did not experience, obviously, at Little Grambling. So Coach Rob, the last day I was there, said, I want you to speak to our team. And I'm like, I can't speak. I'm 24, you know. Like, what do I know?
What am I going to say?
Yeah, what am I going to say to your team? I'm barely older than they are for most of them. And he said, I don't care what you say. Just tell them how you got where you are. How did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried. And it was probably pretty awkward what I told them, but I tried. And there was a kid that I got to know a little later named Everson Walls, who came from nowhere in Dallas after being raised in Dallas to become a star for the Dallas Cowboys, undrafted out of Grambling. And I had many more conversations with him.
He led the league
Grambling
in interceptions as a rookie with 10.
As a rookie, in part because they were throwing at him like crazy. And he was catching at him like crazy. Because they said, that guy can't run.
I still talk to Everson. Yep.
He is one of my all-time favorites. So I got to experience what goes on at a historically black college. Mm-hmm. And it is a very special experience. So I certainly can't criticize this because I get it.
It's a different
It can be an experience. Obviously, Carmel went to Syracuse. Mm-hmm. It's a huge school. Mm-hmm. It has a black population. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the population would be. Would it be 15 or 20%? I have no idea.
Yeah.
No idea.
Ooh.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But again, would Carmelo trade that experience? They won a national championship when he was a freshman. Would he trade it for having gone to wherever, you know, one of the historically black colleges, Grambling, wherever else? I don't know. Maybe not, but I get it. So you think this would be a very positive step?
Oh, it would be a big step. It would definitely change the way the recruiting process and how they treat the because right now, Skip, they feel like if you're number one, if I don't get you, Skip, it's like, he's got to go here. And so, Skip, if I know I'm going to get one. I might not get them all. If I'm going to get one, I still treat you a certain type of way. I still can say certain type of things to you. I remember, Skip, my brother used to come. My brother was in the league at the time, and he would come to Savannah State and hang out with me, you know, stay at the hotel and then come back. And he was just in awe how we did things. Everybody was dressed. It wasn't no sweats wearing. No, we had Stars jeans. We had shirt and tie going to class. We had briefcases. He's like, y'all wake up and do this every morning. We're playing cards in the student center. We're playing space. We're playing ping pong. We're shooting pool. He's like, man, this is cool. Man, I wish I could experience something like this because it's a totally different vibe.
And I would be remiss if I did not point out the greatest marching bands in the history of this country,
yeah, We do that, man.
And you recruit to that. Yes, yes. Like that's a huge thing to get chosen to be in the Grambling Band or
Southern, FAMU. Yep. Mm-hmm. Grambling.
Yep.
Tennessee State, they're known for band. Our band, you know, Savannah State, we call them the Dirty 30. We ain't having our 30 members.
You know, I never heard of that.
Oh, man, but they come with that thing, girl be stepping.
I don't know.
Oh, man, that band was good.
So they in bands, they were ranked like in the top
50. I don't know we were ranked, but they were good. Hey, but they had the baddest play on the field, though.
Okay.
Grambling, they have nothing. They touch your old number two.
Did you ever play Grambling?
No, we didn't play Grambling. We are, who we play? We played Morehouse, beat them 70-13, beat Fort
Valley. 70-13?
70-13, beat the brakes off them. We played Fort Valley when they had Eddie Anderson and Greg Lloyd.
Yeah.
They beat us.
They did?
Yep, they did. We played A&M. We played a couple of skills, but they couldn't do nothing with me, though.
No.
They couldn't do nothing with me.
Well, you did go in the seventh round.
I did.
I love Savannah State's story. Picturing Shannon walking around campus feeling all good about himself.
Oh, yeah, busting his fade.
Yeah, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. No mercy. Yesterday, Saints safety Malcolm Jenkins said that the NFL can still do more to show support for the players' fight for social justice. Jenkins said, quote, until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or assign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. I'm going to start with you, Skip. What should the NFL do?
So, Shannon Sharp, our world is now on fire with, number one, Colin Kaepernick was right from the start, and he got all time wrong by the National Football League. And number two, Colin Kaepernick now deserves a job in the National Football League. Do it, Roger. Make it right.
Right.
I'm with all of the above. I appreciate that Malcolm Jenkins, one of the strongest voices of this movement, stepped up and said, make it right or you invalidate, Commissioner Goodell, everything you just said.
Right.
That has to be the bottom line is you do right by Colin.
Right.
You apologize publicly to him and you, to use the word Malcolm used, you assign him to a team. That hit me the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the thought of Colin getting assigned to a team that might or might not even want him.
Correct.
I don't like the idea of Colin being forced to go to a team he might or might not want to play for.
Correct again.
I don't like the thought of Colin Kaepernick coming back to the NFL after 3 years away and holding a clipboard and losing some of his martyrdom, if I could use that word, because right now he's an all-time a historical figure.
He is.
I'm not saying he's Dr. King or Malcolm X, but he's starting to get into the pantheon.
Or Ali or Russell.
Okay, I got it. But as a trailblazer, as a tone setter, it's a very special thing that just happened. So how do you make it right while making it work? I don't have the perfect answer because, number one, we still have not heard from Colin, and you and I are still not sure if he really wants to play football again. Could he play at age 31 going on 32 during the season?
Yeah.
I think so.
Don't know for sure.
Right.
3 years is a long time, especially for a quarterback to be away from playing quarterback, right? And number two, he's a starting quarterback who played at the highest level. It's the Cam Newton syndrome. I don't want Cam holding a clipboard. He was born to be a starter. So right now, there's not a clear-cut starting opening for him. But I told you yesterday, is Colin Kaepernick better than Gardner Minshew? I believe he is.
Right.
Is he better than anybody else on the Jacksonville roster? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. To me, I'm not the biggest Dwayne Haskins fan. If Washington's going ahead with him or Kyle Allen, I still believe Colin would be better than either of those options. Mm-hmm. That's just me. But can I snap my fingers and get Jacksonville or Washington to say, sure, we'll make Colin our starting quarterback next year? I cannot do that. No. So how else can you make it right? Well, could we have on opening day in San Francisco or maybe around the league a Colin Kaepernick day? Mm-hmm. Memorializes, or not that we've lost him, but commemorating all that he did? Right. We could. Would Colin participate in that? Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe that would be beneath his right. dignity right now.
Right.
I suggested this earlier. I'll bring it up again. Is there a way, you being the Pro Football Hall of Famer you are, in Canton, Ohio, to commemorate Colin's contribution, not only to this country, but to your league, with some sort of a display? Obviously, he was not allowed to play enough to qualify as a playing Hall of Famer.
Right.
But is there a way? Would that work? Or would that be beneath him? Does that do anything for the justice in the back of your mind right now?
Well, it's supposed to be for players, executives. I mean, they have a wing for media.
Yep.
Skill, but it's for guys that impacted the game, that transcended the game. You can't tell the story of the NFL without these guys.
Okay. Well, he's qualified for that. To me, it's almost like he deserves his own wing.
Right. So for them to have a display of Colin Kaepernick, I'm sure they could do it, Skip. Like you said, I don't know. It's not in the bylaws that they can. I don't know if it's in the bylaws that they can. That would be, I guess you'd have to put it to the board. See?
So we have been racking our brains, and this is the first time in my career that I don't have the exact opinion where I don't know exactly how to fix this.
Right.
Malcolm's on to something. We all agree that, right. with that. But what is the fix of this that would satisfy everybody, including Colin? Boy, this is a really complex problem.
It is, Skip. And I agree with Malcolm on the first part, that they need to apologize to Cap by name. But I don't know legally, Skip, they can. I don't know if you want to subject yourself or open yourself back up, because by admitting, you're saying, yes, we did something that inhibited your ability to gain employment in our league. And they said, no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. And Commissioner Goodell says, we leave that up to each individual team to sign a player. But you hold a tryout and invite all the teams, something you've never done before. Skip, it's just hard for me to see a scenario in which an employee sues, gets monetary damages, and then goes back and works for the corporation. I've never heard that. Now,
I believe you said at the time when he and Eric Reed sued for collusion, I think you said, that bridge is burning.
Yeah.
Right?
Because, Skip, I've seen police officers sue to get their job back. Mm-hmm. But it's not monetary damages. I'm suing to get my job back. I just don't know how. What's you apologize, then what? Was the settlement a part of that apology, Skip? I mean,
I don't know.
Like I said, this is the first time I'm stumped. What would be the ideal? Ideally, he should have been given an opportunity to get a job in 2017. That would have been the right thing to do, and then you let him see it or fail on his own merit. 2020, 3 years after the fact, what is the right thing? How do we go back and undo what's been done? Skip, there is no amount of money a man spends 25, 30 years in prison. There's no amount of money that can give him that back.
Nope.
You made this man a pariah. You made him an outcast. You put the man's life in danger because, Skip, you heard. See, I read and heard what was being spewed about this man, about his silent, peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. And you were wrong not to listen to your players. You were wrong not to listen to your player.
Mm.
You can't mention this movement without mentioning him. It's just like you can't mention the civil rights movement without mentioning Dr. King.
Mm-mm.
You can't mention it without Malcolm X, although they had very different approaches.
They did.
How? How can you mention what transpired in the NFL without mentioning Kaepernick by name? Again, it goes back to legally. Everything, Skip, there's always, when you have a settlement, there's always legal wrangling. I'm not going to admit wrongdoing. I'm going to offer this settlement. We're going to move on. You're going to move on. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the NFL wants to step back into that water after they dry it off. Mm. But given what's going on now and how right Cap was, I just don't know how they get around not apologizing to him publicly. Mm. And then are we back opening up a can of worms with Mark Garagos saying, see?
Possibly. And remember what you're dealing with here with the owners of the 32 franchises. These are very proud businessmen. Mm-hmm. They speak one language. It's called money.
Money.
And to your point, money cannot buy back time wasted, time
nope.
lost.
Nope.
But, again, there was a report from Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report that Eric Reid and Colin Kaepernick got somewhere between 60 and 80 million in the settlement. Then the Wall Street Journal reported it was somewhere a little short of 11 million. I don't know what to believe, but let's go to the high end. I think there are a number of NFL owners dug in right now. We're about to talk to about one of them here on the show, but I think they're dug in thinking we gave them whatever, yeah. 60, you know, whatever.
Because that did come out of their pocket.
Yeah. we gave them a whole lot of money. Is that not enough? That's the way they would think right
because
now.
Because this is how they think, to put it in a nice little bow on it. Mm-hmm. We gave him this to go away. That's correct. How they look at it.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. It wasn't about, no, you were right, we were wrong. This is whatever it was, X amount. It was $5.42 or it was $70 million. Mm-hmm. Whatever they gave, they believe they gave him that money to go away.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay. And yet, it's not that Colin came back around and is knocking on the door. The world came around and is trying to knock the door down
kicking
for Colin.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And the NFL is in a tricky predicament mm-hmm. right now because
yes.
it needs to come up with maybe they have smarter people running that league than what's happening right here across this desk.
Yeah.
But they need to come up with a solution to this
right.
to try to satisfy as many people as possible. An apology would go a long way. Maybe it's not legally possible. Getting Colin back involved in the league would be a beautiful thing. But I don't know if it's possible because I'm not even sure Colin himself
right.
wants to do that.
Yeah, Colin's a very proud man. He's mm-hmm. very prideful.
Yep.
And he's going to look at it, you want me back in your league
right.
after you kicked me out of your league and made sure I couldn't get gainful employment. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden, because the world seemed to be on my side, now you want old Cap back. Now.
And he doesn't want anything that comes off as a sympathy signing.
Right.
No.
Correct. That is okay. absolutely correct. No mercy.
LeBron responded to a tweet about how voting lines in Atlanta took hours in some neighborhoods while only 20 minutes in other areas yesterday. LeBron said, quote, everyone talking about how do we fix this? They say go out and vote. What about asking if how we vote is also structurally racist? Shannon, what do you make of this?
Well, he makes a very good point because my home state, what happened yesterday can't happen.
No.
Can you imagine if this happened on Super Tuesday, Skip, the presidential election, and this were to happen? People would absolutely, you talking about another riot, Skip.
Has it happened before and we weren't aware of it?
What happened was, Skip, is that voter suppression, and what we mean by voter suppression is any act, be it legal or illegal, to try to deter voters from either registering to vote or actually voting. Well, Skip, if I got to wait 4 or 5 hours to vote now, I don't know if you noticed this, Skip, it gets really hot in Georgia in June.
Sticky hot.
Yes.
Yep.
And the last thing, and you're talking about the pandemic is still going on. So now you're outside, you're in the heat, you got a mask on for 3-4 hours, and you hear stories where the machines aren't working, the machines weren't turned on. Huh? And this is in predominantly black neighborhoods. They say, well, we get in our car and we go to the white neighborhood to vote, and it's just in and out. Mm. Everybody knows that Atlanta and the surrounding counties are heavily black. DeKalb County is 55%. That's why in Atlanta, the mayor, we've only had black males for the last 40 yeah. years. It started, Skip, in 2018 when 700,000 new voters registered. Mm-hmm. 700,000. You don't think 700,000 voters can swing a state? Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Now, it was funny because in the last, I think it was 2018, the governor's race with Brian Kemp, he ended up winning. Skip, how you Secretary of State and you oversee the election when things like this going on? Skip, how am I going to be playing in the game and I'm going to be the scorekeeper? Mm. I mean, I might or might not add or take away some points from somebody. I just might do that.
Yep.
So this is you can't have this, Skip. And we know, Chief Justice Roberts, don't let him fool you. Mm. He votes every once in a while, Skip. He'll go with the liberals. 5-4 is like, oh, he's very unpartisan. No, he's very partisan. Because he struck down, I think it was 2013, Skip. He's the one that said, because of the current climate. Basically, what he said is that racism is not like it was in 65, or I think 65. We don't have to worry about this. And he struck down a lot of the parameters that were put in place to ensure that black people would not have to go through what they were going through. The literacy test, obviously they don't do literacy tests, but poll tax or things of that nature. And then they started gerrymandering. They started redrawing the districts. They think they slick, but they not skip. Mm. And that's why we need to vote in because, you know, state representative, they draw the districts. So we got to make sure they don't be drawing the districts in their favor.
Okay.
But yeah, of course, absolutely, Skip. This is unacceptable. This is absolutely unacceptable.
I would like to think that just way more black people turned out to vote than white people. Absolutely. Is that possible? Is that why there were longer lines? Because there was just huge black voter turnout?
That could be the case, Skip. But that doesn't explain why the machines weren't working or why the machines weren't even turned on. And at all the at the majority of the black locations, this was the impact that was being felt.
Mm. And I hated to hear it. It's like you needed to bring a lawn chair to sit on.
Come on, Skip. Come on, for voting. Whew.
No, wrong. Which brings me back to your man, LeBron James. This is when LeBron James, to me, is at his greatest. This is when I applaud him and laud him like never before. He has turned into the greatest superstar watchdog that we've ever had. It's like he has a second job, just eyes open watching.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when he sees racial injustice, he pounces.
Yep.
And he has such a strong following, Twitter, IG, whatever. He's on all the platforms. Huge following.
Yes.
All it takes is one tweet, one little IG post, and all of a sudden he opens millions of eyes and ears.
Yep.
Aha. Correct. It's not like he's out there uncovering, but if he sees it uncovered, sometimes he experiences something.
And a lot of people were tweeting it, Skip.
That's
they were tweeting
saying.
It and posting it like, this is ridiculous.
But a lot of people can't have the impact that guy has.
Oh, no.
Because when he tweets it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's when I always tell you, I wait for him. Mm-hmm. If he says, then I say, uh-oh, this is serious. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal because he has taken that upon himself as his responsibility.
Yes.
Not just to the black community, to this country.
Yep.
I'm on top of it. I got you. Let's get to the bottom of it.
Absolutely.
Before Super Tuesday. Because as you point out, we need to make sure what system is in place, as he said. Are we sure about the system? Is it not sort of racially rigged? Right?
Right. Because it's Skip, that's why they put all these parameters in place. It's because, you know, to discourage the black from voting.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, if I got to wait 5 or 6 hours, I understand that's my right and that's my civic duty. But Skip, 6 hours, four hours, that's a bit much.
Yep.
If I got to, you know, they used to take the ballots and, you know, they put them way in the swamp and, well, where am I voting? Well, you voting over here and you get there and there's nothing there. They did all that kind of stuff to try to keep the blacks from voting. Mm-hmm. To try, Skip, they, by them doing what they're doing, it tells you how important the vote is. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't, why else would they go through the lengths that they're going through to try to keep you from doing it?
Yep.
Nobody keep you from doing anything that don't even worry about that. Let them, no. So that's a given. That's why they're doing what they're doing. This is unacceptable, and this cannot happen. Mm. The lady that was, Brian Kemp, he was running for governor against Stacey Abrams. It just came to me then. And he was Secretary of State that oversee the election, and then we were talking about the voter suppression. Skip, you can't have that. He should have recused himself.
Yep.
You can't have that, Skip. I'm running for office. I'm also Secretary of State that I'm going to be counting the votes.
Yep.
Huh? And nobody thought anything. Well, they, I mean, that happens. No, it doesn't. You got to refuse yourself. You can't have two roles like that.
Mm. So remember last week we talked about Cedric Maxwell's opinion that LeBron is the GOAT of star active, superstar activists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it It's not beyond Muhammad Ali, who gave up 3 years of his prime to be a conscientious objector.
Right.
And got convicted of draft dodging, right?
Right.
Okay, that's one thing.
Yeah.
What LeBron is doing is quite another.
Right.
It's not exactly Bill Russell, the first black star in Boston in the late 50s going into the 60s. The prejudice he experienced on a daily basis, the courage he had to stand up to it and look it right in the eye and push back on it.
And you remember, Skip, he didn't go back for his, when they retired his jersey, he didn't go back.
No, good point.
He had, I mean, he had longstanding resentment for the city of Boston.
Right.
While they cheered him on the court, they yelled things outside of, in public, what they did to that man's house. He never spoke about it, but his daughter spoke about it in her book.
She did.
So, and that's the thing, well, you know, you cheered, and the movie Do the Right Thing, Skip, I know you saw it, when, Pino and Spike Lee's character, I forget. It was Mookie. Mookie is his name. And he's having a conversation. He's like, you say in this and you say in that, but your favorite athletes are black. He's like, but that's different. You know what I'm saying? He's like, your favorite entertainer is black. That's different. And that's how a lot of people look at it. But you still that now. You entertain me, but you know.
Okay.
And so for Skip, this is unacceptable. You can't have, Skip, can you imagine, what if this was actually for the voting for the president of the United States? What if this was that Tuesday, Skip? Can you imagine? And maybe that's what they want, to get discouraged. But they're not. We're not.
No.
We're not going to be discouraged. He got to go.
Well, again, I thank LeBron James for at least calling attention to it. And when he calls attention, there's nobody who can call attention the way he can.
All I need is a half to a three-fourths for the people that's been protesting the last 2 weeks, if they vote.
Hey.
Last slide.
Yep.
Last slide. Okay. This is going to be bigger than when Reagan beat Mondale.
Okay.
I hate to bring that up, Jenny. That's your guy from your home state. But he wiped the floor with it.
And if you don't mind, I'll throw into your equation all those younger white people who came out for the protest.
Yeah, that would be what we need. We're going to get. I think hopefully vice president, a former vice president, don't have any more gaffes or snafus. And come on now. Don't mess this up.
No mercy. All right, Skip, Shannon, listen up. CBS Sports ranked the best all-time offensive teams that won a Super Bowl. Topping the list were the 99 Rams, but down a couple spots at three were Skip's 95 Cowboys with Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith. Two spots back of that, Shannon's 98 Broncos with John Elway, of course. Shannon, make your case. Tell me.
There we go.
Why are your 98 Broncos offense better than the 95 Cowboys?
If they can't do it, they couldn't do it like us. They couldn't do it like us. The only man
like
in history.
What?
The only man in history. As great as that offensive line was, how many did Emmitt ever rush for 2,000 yards? I mean, TD had 2,020 touchdowns.
Yeah.
We had two 1,000-yard receivers. A tight end that got double-digit touchdown by old Shea Sharp. And then we had old Selman pulling that thing. John Elway.
Yeah.
Passing 300 yards in the Super Bowl. Had a 40-yard passing game. Skip, offensively, y'all were no match for us. Y'all could do was run the ball. Y'all couldn't throw the ball like we could. What? Really?
Really? Is it my turn?
It's not even close, Skip. Y'all were good,
Shannon,
but y'all shouldn't be in front of
us. I'm sorry. This is something like Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. It's not a fair fight.
Whatever.
In 1995, Troy Aikman was only 29 years old and completed 65% of his passes.
How many yards did he throw for?
Let me do this first. In 1998, John Elway was 38 years of age, and he completed only 59% of his passes. That had to be near last in the NFL.
No, it wasn't near last.
59%? And by the way, Emmitt scored in 95, 25 touchdowns to TD's 21 touchdowns. So I don't know.
How many yards
did that work? Well, they had 1,773, did not have 2,000. But guess what Emmitt did?
What?
Emmitt caught 62 passes to your guys, 25 passes. What? Terrell Davis caught 62 to 25.
So are you telling me Troy was old check down Troy? Check it down Troy.
Well, he wasn't checking down to 88 because Michael Irvin that year had career highs in catches and yards and touchdowns. And when Troy was in doubt, he just looked for 88 because 88, you can have all of your guys together and they didn't equal 88.
Rod Smith.
Rod Smith.
Yeah, Rod Ed. We did a number.
Come on,
number,
Stop it.
Yeah, we didn't know.
I mean, this is a first-team All-Pro.
Oh, Skip, you do remember we played them in 98, too. Mm. We beat the brakes off the Cowboys.
Okay, we're talking about 95.
Yeah, y'all offense, I mean, maybe as a team, because you had time, at that time you had time, you had Haley. So maybe overall. Mm. But offensively, you guys weren't better than we were offensively.
There was this guy at tight end named Jay Novacek. He was actually a wide receiver masquerading as a tight end. Jay Novacek caught 62 balls to Shea Sharp's 64. So he was right there.
How many tubs?
Step and step.
How many tubs?
I didn't look that up. I don't even know. I don't even care because Michael Irvin took care of the touchdown.
Oh, look, we got two guys outside with 1,000.
Mm. Guess who would always sneak over there on offense occasionally and catch a few balls for us? Hope Time would.
That's
oh, Dion.
Look at Dion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Dion running 4-2 at wide receiver. Yep. How about our offensive line? We had 4 Pro Bowlers. You had 3, but we had 4. You had our guy Schlereth, right?
Yes.
One of them. But I had Nate Newton and Ray Donaldson and Larry Allen and Mark Tuinei. I had 4.
Skip, you do realize that had we left TD in the game, TD played to the half against the Cowboys that had a buck 91. Mm. He had like a buck 60 against the Eagles playing to the half. Mm. Can you imagine if we leave him in? Mm. TD run for 2,500.
Wow. Shannon, this is too much firepower for you guys.
And guess what? We didn't even have John, didn't even start the whole season. We had Bubby.
Bubby
Brisner came in and gave folk the business with that offense.
Is that the year you lost 4 in a row? Is that
that was 97. 98, we were 14. We started 13-0, lost to the Giants, lost to Miami. Then we corrected that thing against the Chargers. And then we just rolled.
Really?
Rolled.
Interesting. So this team had 8 Pro Bowlers to 7 there. Huh. Interesting.
If
I think it's game over, Shannon. You lost another one.
If only. I just want to get this in right before the end of the show. That's it, guys. Great
Y'all
stuff today. Save it for tomorrow. We're back at 9:30 Eastern. Have a good day, guys.